Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Tea, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea, and the honey in me. And coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest espresso, coffee, fresh local baked goods, and internet access. Come try our new Zawadi African chai. And remember, Coffeetopia, we're here to help.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Obama's order to close Guantanamo sets in motion a process he has given 1 year to accomplish.
The president's ordering the shutdown of the terrorist holding center within a year. He has other actions, banning harsh interrogation and overseas CIA prisons, amount to a clear rebuke of Bush administration policies.
We are not, as I said in the inauguration, going to continue with a false choice between our safety and our ideals.
A new presidential task force will recommend answers to some of the toughest what next questions, including where the U.S. will hold terror detainees when Guantanamo closes. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Still, Michigan Republican Congressman Pete Hoekstra says,
now, without having a plan in place, without answering a lot of questions, the president has said it will be closed, and that makes me nervous.
Case in point, the home of one of the nation's most secure prisons. Leavenworth Mayor Lisa Weekly says don't send them here.
Leavenworth and Fort Leavenworth is not a suitable location for them, and that we do not want them here. We have security concerns with that.
Diplomacy, says Mr. Obama, must play a larger role in the nation's overall effort to fight terrorism and to cope with the world's troubled locations.
Today we start the hard work to restore our standing and enable our country to meet the vexing new challenges of the 21st century, but also to seize the opportunities that await us.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. New York Governor David Patterson says he will name a successor to Hillary Clinton for the now vacant Senate seat tomorrow at noon. Treasury Secretary nominee Timothy Geithner has gotten the approval of the Senate Finance Committee. Here's Chairman Max Baucus.
Mr. Chairman, the final tally is 18 ayes and 5 nays.
The ayes have it. The nomination is ordered reported.
A confirmation vote in the Senate could happen late on Monday. $825 billion stimulus plan is moving ahead on Capitol Hill. President Obama's $275 billion in tax cuts and stimulus checks for people who don't pay taxes passed the House Ways and Means Committee on a party-line vote today. Democratic leaders say it should be ready for his signature by mid-February. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 105 points today. The Nasdaq was down 41. Oil less than $43 a barrel. There are two new videos have been found of the splash landing of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, including one from an energy company's surveillance camera.
It's dramatic footage taken from a Con Ed building in Manhattan. The plane appears to be gently touching down and then kind of gliding, skimming along the surface. It sits there, such an odd sight, floating in the middle of the Hudson River. In less than 30 seconds, the emergency doors are open, passengers streaming onto the wings of the aircraft, where they're scooped up by the first ferries to arrive just 4 minutes after the splashdown.
CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor. Stop watching everything. This is CBS News.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like GEICO's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. GEICO.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
How much does a degree of climate change hurt? One study says it's killing trees.
Over a vast swath of the western United States and Canada, tree deaths are speeding up, a report in the journal Science says, because of global warming.
A tree 50 years ago would have twice the longevity of a tree today.
Mark Harmon, an Oregon State University researcher, Pacific Northwest old-growth forests are the hardest hit. The study warns of a cascading effect where increasing tree mortality adds to carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere, further promoting climate change. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The National Mall was crowded again today. There were tens of thousands of abortion opponents, marking the 36th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade abortion decision at the Supreme Court with an energetic rally. President Barack Obama issued a statement renewing his commitment to abortion rights. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. What could be better than the Gear Up with Sony HD sales event? I'm not sure, but I'll try to top it by handing out some of my own gear. Hey there, little fella.
Hi, Mr. Manning.
How about a practice jersey?
But, Mr. Manning, it's so wet.
Why, yes, little fella. Yes, it is.
Ew!
Well, looks like Gear Up with Sony HD is the best way to go. Get a great deal when you buy a Bravia HD TV and Blu-ray disc player together.
I don't think I want this.
Bring it out. It's just a little sweat.
It's gross!
Now through January 24th, save between $300 and $400 when you purchase a Sony Bravia HD TV with motion flow technology and a select Sony Blu-ray disc player together. Enjoy your favorite fast-action sports and movies in full HD 1080p quality with smoother motion and a sharper picture. To learn more about motion flow and how you can save up to $400 on a Sony Bravia HD TV and Sony Blu-ray disc player, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America, Barack
Obama, 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 Obama.
Oh, don't worry, I haven't been kidnapped by a member of the Hip Hop Nation.
Senator from Illinois, in his criteria compared to Tom McCain, this isn't.
Just kicking off the Peter B. Collins Show today with a track from Lil Wayne.
Right, legislation with the country on his mind that he don't
know. Was recorded during the campaign last fall, and the beat is simply the repetition of the name Obama, 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 Obama.
Every brother, mother, sister, cousin, grandma wanna hump him, even got Hillary Clinton on the side, ready to jump him, tell the Clintons, couldn't catch him, couldn't stop him, they go by the party rules, if you can't beat him, you can't top him.
All right, I better drop out before Lil Wayne gets a little too graphic for me, but that was a great way to start our program today, and thanks to my assistant producer, DJ Nick T for passing that along to me. Very interesting little rendition there. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and this hour it will be broadcast up and down the left coast from Monterey all the way to the Canadian border, and it will be replayed Sunday at noon on Green 960 in San Francisco. Wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm glad you're with us, and don't forget the podcasts. They're available on demand. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Later this hour, Professor Gar Alperovitz, and maybe he'll correct me on pronouncing his name, he's from the University of Maryland, where he teaches political economy, and he's published a book called Unjust Deserts about wealth and inequality, and in particular, how rich people got rich, often through inheritances or by benefiting from the sweat and labor of others, perhaps from decades before them. It'll be an interesting discussion, particularly given our economic crisis and the extreme shift of wealth that occurred in the last 8 years alone. That's coming up later this hour. Right now, Faz Shakir kicks off our show. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress, and he oversees the Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. And their up-to-the-minute blog and news site is thinkprogress.org, and that's always a great resource for breaking news. Faz, thanks for joining me today.
Doing?
I'm doing okay. And how are things in Washington? Kind of settling down?
Yeah, the honeymoon is still going on, of course. People are very excited about the change in administration. And, of course, the administration is getting off to a very fast start, so it's making a lot of people pretty happy.
Well, on the Peter B. Collins Jumbotron here in California, Barack Obama's batting 1,000 right now, Faz.
Great. What do he do for you?
Well, he opened up with the executive orders to close Gitmo and torture, set up an interagency task force to deal with the thorny issues of handling the current crop of Bush-era detainees, I call them prisoners, and also to deal, looking forward, with issues related to these kinds of potential detainees or prisoners who may pop up in future encounters. So I'm very positive about that. And the sunshine thing, the open government. He really followed through, and on day one, he announced a pay freeze for White House staff. He announced some real sharp reductions on the speed of the revolving door for people who want to leave his administration and lobby. And I was stunned, Faz, by the terms of that. If you lobbied any government agency in the past 2 years, you can't work at that agency or work on the issues that you lobbied about. And if you work in the Obama administration, you can't lobby this administration on anything as long as he is the president.
Yeah, it's tough. It's stringent. It's good. It's exactly what we need after an era of so much corruptness that was due primarily to the influence of K Street and the K Street Project, where it was an overt cash for pay, a pay for play system. I think there's been one person who kind of stood out as not having followed the rules who they appointed. He's the Deputy Secretary of Defense, a guy by the name of Lynn, who they have acknowledged as a unique case. But everybody else, I guess there's one other guy who's in HHS who lobbied, quote, for tobacco, against tobacco. So you can count that, I guess, as well. But, for all the appointments they've made, they've done a pretty good job of sticking to their principles.
Well, and I don't know the details about William Lynn. He's described as a former Raytheon lobbyist. And, so many of the people in the Pentagon have a web of connections. I was just struck on the PBS NewsHour on Wednesday night. They had two retired generals, and they described them as business consultants, but they didn't bother to tell us which businesses they consult and which of those businesses have contracts at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
But, those kinds of conflicts are rampant. And so, again, I don't want to pass judgment on Mr. Lynn specifically because I don't know the details. And I also don't know what skill set he brings to the Pentagon that the Obama team finds valuable. And I'm willing to accept exceptions. I think that if we had a rule that could never be bent, that would not be in the best interest of the nation.
Right. But for him to acknowledge them and have transparency about it.
Yeah, and to establish such a high set of standards is just so refreshing, Faz.
Right, right, yeah. There have been a number of appointments. There's a two more. Secretary Clinton, it seems awkward saying that, but it's great. Secretary Clinton announced the selection of two new envoys, George Mitchell, who will serve as an envoy to the Middle East, who I am really enthusiastic about. I think he's the definition of a diplomat.
I share that.
And he, he traveled to the region in 2001 and said we needed an even-handed approach that would that included a settlement freeze by Israelis, which is obviously something that's politically tenuous here in America to say, but he said it, and I think he laid out the contours of the roadmap, so we're excited about him. And Richard Holbrooke will be the special envoy to Afghanistan, Pakistan, and that region, of course, needs some desperate help, and he's got a very, very difficult task ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and these are two very talented and experienced people. Holbrooke is, some progressives have a little problem with some of his positions in the past,
yeah.
But there's simply no question that he is a man with deep diplomatic skills and great knowledge of the region. And as you know, Faz, I'm very concerned about the intention to put more troops into Afghanistan. I want a full debate on this. I want to clarify what the true mission is and really understand this before I could endorse it. But I see the issues of Pakistan and India as central to dealing with that region.
Yeah, you know, if you read the inaugural speech, there was actually some careful, I thought, a slight walking back by Obama on Afghanistan. You know, previously his position was we need to put in 20,000 more troops in order to win in Afghanistan. And I think if you saw the inauguration speech, it said we need to get a hard-earned peace there, and didn't talk about the massive escalation of troops. So I sense that there's internal wrangling that parallels a lot of the external wrangling about the concerns here. So it's going to be unique, I think, Peter, that we have an administration that is sensitive to what we on the outside think of these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And that they're actually debating these things just as we're debating these things. It's a very unique experience for us now.
Well, I don't have Wrangler jeans on today, but I will keep wrangling on the outside, and you just keep your ear tuned to the inside wranglers, and maybe we'll come to terms.
Exactly. We got to keep the pressure up.
Now, Faz, one of the things I also find really important and gratifying is the president recognizing the ills caused by the secrecy of the Bush administration. We still don't know who was on Dick Cheney's energy task force, and we should. And he has taken dramatic steps that make the Republicans very nervous. He believes in the Freedom of Information Act, and he gave a lecture at the White House yesterday saying that just because you can keep something secret doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, you know, President Bush, we used 9/11 for a variety of purposes to accomplish his agenda. One of the ones that often is overlooked is the fact that he used 9/11 to limit transparency of government, and then the FOIA was one of the key ways he did that. Through John Ashcroft, they limited the amount of the types of documents that could be released to the public, and even when they were released, they were often jammed up in this huge backlog, and the requests were rarely fulfilled. And so a number of news organizations and outside watchdog organizations had to sue the government, including CREW and Judicial Watch and a whole variety of others, just to get basic documents. And I think it's a great a marker that Obama is not only overturning the policy, but if you listen to his words, it's the right mindset. It's that if we embrace transparency, only good can come from it, because people will have an opportunity to check us, and then that will help correct any mistakes that we make. It's the right mindset, and absolutely the inverse of what we've experienced for the past 8 years.
Yeah. And then, Faz, I flipped on the tube over my Cheerios. Actually, it was Crunchy Raisin Bran this morning. And I was just so pleased to see him preside over the signing of four executive orders. One that says Guantanamo will be closed in a year or less. Another that repudiates torture and says that any interrogations must be conducted in conformity with the Army Field Manual. He's appointing an interagency task force, and this isn't all completely clear to me, but I certainly don't have any opposition, to a full review by all interested parties in the cases of these individuals who have been held without charge at Guantanamo for up to 6.5-7 years now. And it makes sense to not just empower David Iglesias, and I'm thrilled about that one, too. He's been put in charge of the trials at Guantanamo Bay, and he is a real solid American, a military man who withstood the pressure from the senator of Senator Domenici when he improperly interfered, Congresswoman Heather Wilson, who delightfully was defeated in a primary earlier this year. She interfered, and Iglesias stood firm. So this is symbolically and practically a very important appointment of Iglesias. But these executive orders, including one that puts on ice the proceeding against Almari, the American resident who's been at that brig in Charleston for, I guess, almost 6 years now. These are all very positive steps that explicitly deliver on the promises that Obama made in the campaign.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful and refreshing that he's doing that. I think now we've got to move the debate to the next step and say, you know, I think Guantanamo is going to be closed, certainly. I mean, there's unanimity across the board that The facility just needs to close because it's been a stain on our reputation. And then the next step is what's the process for getting rid of these people and dealing with them and getting verdicts if that's the case, or releasing them back to their countries. And on the tribunals issue, that's going to be a thorny one because I don't think that there's a lot of unanimity across the board on how you address the trials, the military trials issue, and where those trials would take place. I think presumably if Fort Leavenworth is an option, then you're talking about military tribunals or in military trials in Kansas, or if we send them to the brig in South Carolina, you're talking about trials in South Carolina, and then you have to assume that once they are in America, they have all the amenities of the Constitution, mm-hmm. which are due process. So those are the kinds of questions that now have to take place over the next year as we try to close Guantanamo.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing. A congressman from Florida, I think a Republican, suggested Alcatraz, and I'm sorry. It's a theme park. It raises a lot of money for the Park Service, and we can't afford to close it and put prisoners back there. We'll take a break and return with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Log on and get their daily progress report at progressreport.org. 19 minutes after the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
We all know the economy is experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys? Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The Otters are on the bus to Panoma and San Bernardino this coming Friday and Saturday. Don't miss any of the action here on KRXA 540.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. And while we're talking about Obama's executive orders to close Gitmo, end torture, and delay the prosecution of Al-Mari, awaiting a Supreme Court decision on that critical case, I just want to single out some of the people responsible for changing the policies and defending those at Guantanamo. And it starts with the Center for Constitutional Rights. Michael Ratner is the president there. He joined me on Thursday morning when I sat in on the Tom Hartman program. It's hour two if you want to grab the podcast. And he, along with the ACLU and Jonathan Haffitz, who went from the Brennan Center at NYU over to the ACLU, they are the core group that over the last 6.5 years fought for our rights by defending the detainees, the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. And Michael Ratner was elated by these developments. A few questions about what's missing or the fine print of these executive orders, but in general, very pleased with these developments and the fact that Obama has followed through. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. And Faz, one of the related issues here to torture and also the astounding revelation on the Olbermann Show Wednesday night by Russell Tice, an NSA whistleblower, that he firmly believes that media personnel were monitored by the illegal wiretapping program that they say started after 9/11 but may have started a little bit before. And this ties into the nomination of Eric Holder as Attorney General, which is now on hold. And I wanted to clarify one thing, because in the progress report you say that it's John Cornyn of Texas who put the hold on, and I've been led to believe it's Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania. Do you know?
I don't know. I know that John Cornyn has done the floor speeches and has said that he opposes Holder's nomination. I can't be certain whether he's the one who's actually physically put the hold on him. I know both of them have spoken out against Holder and intend to put him through the ringer.
Well, Specter, I believe, is the one who actually initiated it, and that could be wrong, but that's what I understand.
Okay.
Now, on the Hartman Show this morning, it was fascinating because Joe Madison, who is an African-American talk show host in Washington, and also he's on XM, he's a guy I know, I worked with him at a station 15 years ago, and he knows Eric Holder. They saw each other on Wednesday night, and Holder said that he complained to Madison that these efforts are unfair and that they're trying to hold him up. And Madison used the term tenderize, that the Republicans don't expect to block this nomination, but they want to soften him up, and they're trying to get him to commit not to pursue prosecutions against Bush administration officials. And he's towed a very fine line there, saying that no one's above the law, but also quoting Obama, saying, well, we want to look forward, not backward.
Yeah, it's an interesting strategy by Republicans. They're doing it to Geithner as well, that they'll raise a big fuss about somebody and try to basically weaken their political capital before they enter office, so that they can't get things done that they want to accomplish. And in that way, I think they're trying to do the same thing with Holder. Senator Levin said the other day that he has a proposal for Holder, which is that he wants a special prosecutor appointed who would look into war crimes and torture and those sorts of things. So there's an out here for Holder if he wishes to take it, which is, you know, it's not his purview and he's going to listen to Congress and hear their suggestions, because there's a lot of Democratic senators who are interested in doing exactly what he wants to do, and he may not have to go out on the stand and say it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be very interesting. I do expect both of those gentlemen to be confirmed. And the Republicans, in some ways, are doing what they're supposed to do as an opposition party. But a lot of these efforts seem petty and off the mark. On Geithner, his tax problem, that's a non-issue for me. I'm more concerned about his participation in the bailout to date and how much he's going to change in the future. Faz, thank you for joining us, and thanks for the work you do.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
Faz Shakir, Center for American Progress.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. When asked why he robbed banks, the famous bank robber Willie Sutton supposedly once said to reporters, "Because that's where the money is." That may have been true in Sutton's day, but not now. Banks, especially the big ones, despite billions in taxpayer bailout money from the government, have less money than the beggar on the street. In fact, they are the beggar on the street.
Most people now are of the opinion that the banking sector will owe eventually $3.3 trillion. And this is a huge amount of money.
It sure is. And that's where Sutton's Law comes in. The story after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
Sutton's Law, which is taught in universities these days, states that in attempting to diagnose a problem, one should first do the experiment that can confirm the most likely diagnosis. The problem for banks is that the bigger they are, the further they've fallen. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason.
Bank stocks have plunged. Look at two of the country's largest. Citigroup, which lost more than $8 billion last quarter, has seen its stock price plummet 85% over the past year. Bank of America, which has received $45 billion in bailout funds, has fallen 82%.
As the recession deepens, delinquencies on mortgages, credit cards, and car loans are soaring. Nariman Barabesh of IHS Global Insight has this insight.
For a while, it was the banking system dragging down the economy. Now it's almost like the economy dragging down the banking system.
What can you do? Remember Sutton's Law?
In a crisis of this magnitude, the most prudent course is the most forceful course.
That's Timothy Geithner, President Obama's nominee for Secretary of the Treasury.
We're at the beginning of this process of repairing the system, not close to the end of that process, and it's going to require much more substantial action on a very dramatic scale.
Why do the banks now depend so heavily on the government and the taxpayer? To quote Willie Sutton, because that's where the money is. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
As
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
During this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show, we're going to talk about wealth in America and economic inequality. One of the concepts covered in the new book, Unjust Deserts, is the concept of rent. Here's a little tune about that. It goes back to the Pet Shop Boys in the 80s. Check it out.
You dress me up. I'm your puppet. You buy me things. I love it. You bring me food. I need it. You give me love. I feed it. And look at the two of us in sympathy with everything we see. I never want anything. It's easy. Buy whatever I need. Look at my hopes. Look at my dreams. The currency we spent. I love your heart. You pay my rent.
I love your heart.
I love your heart.
Because you pay my rent. Gar Alberovitz is a professor of political economy. He is, in fact, the Lionel R. Bauman Professor of Political Economy at the University of Maryland, and he is co-author of this new book called Just Deserts. Deserts has one S and is spelled correctly. Professor, welcome to our program today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Are you a Pet Shop Boy fan? Have you ever heard that song called Rent?
I have not heard that one, no.
Well, get it on your iPod, okay?
You have to do so.
I'd like you, before we dive into a discussion of the concepts in your book, I wonder if you could define three things as you describe them in the book for our listeners: rent, earned versus unearned income, and the commons. And then we can talk a little more informed about the issues that you raise about the inequality of wealth in the United States and the extent to which wealthy people benefit from the work of generations before them or from simple inheritance.
Happy to try it in any case.
Okay, rent.
Let's start with rent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of us think of rent as what you pay for your apartment or your house to the landlord. And that's the common use of rent.
Mm-hmm.
But amongst economists, there is a technical term. Rent means something different. It means something that you get for doing nothing simply by holding on to something like a piece of land.
Okay.
So that, for instance, if you own some land and you're growing grain, and the price of grain is $100 a bushel, and for some reason there is a global shortage of grain, you have done absolutely nothing, but the grain price might go up to $300, and you get that difference.
Mm-hmm.
That difference is called rent, and there are many different kinds of rent for doing nothing. And economists make a very important point about that. It's not a measure of somebody's new productivity or something they've contributed. It comes from doing nothing that you've actually contributed. So it's related to the idea, the second one, which is unearned income.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an example also of unearned income. But this goes way, way back in history. It goes back into the biblical times. You should reap what you sow, but not more. You've earned what the farmer grows and sows, and you're welcome to earn that. That's earned income. But if you get something for nothing, that nothing that you personally have done, that's unearned income, and it's related to the concept of the technical word rent, but mm-hmm. there's slight differences there.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, tell me again, what was the third question?
The commons.
The commons, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This word is coming into use. It's an ancient term again. It is the many, many things that come to us collectively. Now, the most obvious example is the air we breathe, which is common, or the water of the oceans, which is available in common to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, God gave the earth and all of its produce in common to all of humankind. It was the commons before it was divided up and people took shares in it. There are many, many definitions of it. The place we see it most obviously in the United States these days are on public lands, common lands, or, for instance, in the airwaves that allow for television, radio, and communication. We regard these in the United States and in most other countries as a common property of the society.
Mm-hmm.
And we charge television stations, radio stations, internet groups a rent, if you like, to use the commons.
Well, unfortunately, the license fee that they charge is so nominal. It's under $1,000 for an AM radio station to renew the license, and you make no other payments over the course. I think it's now a 6-year or 8-year license term. So the concept is good, but unfortunately, Congress has given away the airwaves, and they just made a colossal move over the last 10 years, and we're seeing the fruition of it in February when television moves to the digital spectrum, and the Congress gave that spectrum to the broadcasters after heavy lobbying and political contributions, and we know that the nominal value of that is somewhere between $20 and $25 billion, because that's what the old spectrum that TV is going to be vacating was worth when the FCC put it up for auction to cell phone companies and other wireless users.
That's a very good example of unearned income as well. That is to say, the power of the broadcasters to get control of this common, the airwaves, the electronic, the spectrum, taking that over is they get something for nothing,
mm-hmm.
which is taking it from us as a commonly owned property, the airwaves that belongs to the society as a whole, and what it's worth is a lot more than what the powerful groups can do to take it over. I agree with you.
And Professor, let me also use the example of bottled water, because this is getting more and more contentious, and I'll just disclose my own family history. My grandparents owned a small piece of property outside Cincinnati that had a freshwater spring, and they went into the spring water business, and they did well taking this free natural resource that just happened to surface on property that they had inherited, and they sold it to consumers in Cincinnati before fluoride and chlorine came in and cleaned up the river water, and the business kind of declined before the invention of the personal plastic bottle and brand names, you know, like the French one, and, well, you know what I mean, the different brands that sell bottled water and get a premium for it. And so using that example and then moving forward to the big beverage companies like Nestle and Coca-Cola that have moved into the bottled water market, and they are busy buying up land to extract water from the aquifers underneath. And the water that they're getting is coming from a very big footprint far from the actual property that they own. And a lot of people argue that that water doesn't belong to them just because they own the property where it surfaces.
Yes, that's another example of the commons, the water being in common, but people trying to siphon it off and make profit from it, unearned.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, we're unearned income is really derived from the commons that most people don't think about, namely knowledge, inherited knowledge. So let me give you an example.
Sure.
Somebody had to invent arithmetic. And if you didn't have arithmetic, you couldn't do a lot of things with a computer. We inherited the knowledge of how to do not only arithmetic, but calculus and advanced mathematics. We inherited that freely from creation of many, many, many individuals throughout society over generation after generation. We don't think of it. It never comes to us as an idea that's important. But in fact, literacy, mathematics, chemistry, physics, all of the things that we inherit collectively are a knowledge commons that without that we could make very little income today or any of the advanced kind of creation of wealth we now have. We couldn't do anything without the commons knowledge that we inherited collectively from society.
Mm-hmm.
One way to think about that, incidentally, and it's the core of this of the book, Unjust Deserts, is suppose you were born on a desert island.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the choice to come to the United States. And in a desert island, we would have no taxation, just in this example. In the United States, you would be taxed on your income. Now, what's your choice? Most people would come to the United States, and they would know instantly that the reason they came is because of all that the society offers as distinct from what you could find on a desert island. All of that, why you would come to the United States, tells you a great deal about what is held in common, the knowledge, the productivity of society that allows any one individual to do so much more than they could do on a desert island. That's the distinction here. And then the question is, how much of that do you deserve? How much of it comes from your hard work? Or how much of it comes to you from society? If you were on the desert island, you could work just as hard as you might work in the United States. You'd make almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the United States, you would make $100,000. Most of the difference, and people don't like to think about this, but it's pretty obvious when you do, most of that difference comes to you from the society, and you know it instantly when you say, okay, if you don't like it here, go live on a desert island, and most people refuse the choice because they know the extraordinary value from living in an advanced society that comes to them just because they're there. That's the basis of this book, trying to distinguish how much really can we say you and I personally earn, and how much of it comes to us from all that comes to the society, most of which, by the way, is technological knowledge that we've inherited from the past that increases our productivity year by year. And that's the distinction. That's the unearned increment. Now, if it comes to us all equally, that's one thing. But what we know is Bill Gates is worth $60 billion, and most people aren't. So it comes, some people are able to get huge shares of the value that comes from living in an advanced technological society, which has inherited all of this knowledge, and some people don't. And we're trying to, in this book, trying to sharply focus on what can we say we actually earn by our hard work, and what is it that comes from society, and how do we distribute the part that comes to us all collectively as a common inheritance, just like the air we breathe.
We're talking with Professor Gar. Do you say Alperovitz?
That's good.
Okay, that works. He is co-author with Lou Daly, who is with the organization DEMOS. They've been featured on our program before. The book is entitled Unjust Deserts, Wealth and Inequality in the Knowledge Economy. And if you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, in the example of Bill Gates, Professor, just in broad terms, how do you parse the innovation, ingenuity, and invention that he brought or fostered by developing his company, and how much of it is received knowledge and information that he owes a dividend to the rest of us for?
Well, that's a hard question, how to actually sharply focus on the difference that he made. Let me give you two or three different ways to think about it. First, as most people know, a good deal of the basic research he did was done through government contracts originally that financed the research. Secondly, other people probably developed the basis of the operating system that became the source of Bill Gates' fortune. He made some slight modifications on it, but we describe this in the book, and many people have pointed out that he was adapting work that had been done by other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the government first, and then you've got other people second. Moreover, you're standing, Bill Gates could have been nowhere without the development, in some sense, of the long history of the technology that led to radar and computers and the mathematics behind that, much of which was paid for by the government, much of which drew on the common knowledge. So we know all of this is the background, but it's the mountain he stood upon when he dropped the small pebble of creation on top of that mountain. He gets the whole mountain, or he gets a very large share of the mountain. What most people, many people say is, but he's done something very good for society that society would not otherwise have had. And that's contribution, whether he worked hard or worked, or was just brilliant or got lucky. What he did, we need so badly that he deserves his reward. Well, that's what's very interesting, and we cover this in one of the chapters in the book. What's very interesting is we know a lot about the science of technology and invention nowadays. And what this whole area of research these days shows that, in fact, if Bill Gates had never existed, almost certainly all of the developments that he is responsible for would have been created by other people, and in fact probably were. Because what happens is that knowledge reaches a certain point, science reaches a certain point, and then very smart people see automatically the next step, and people rush. It isn't as if it's not going to happen. The insiders know definitely if I get there first, I'm going to make a lot of money, but because this is where everything's going. And society, and this is the really important point, society would have had it anyway, and in, you know, many people believe in the different kinds of software that have been developed and different open software. We might have had better than what Bill Gates gave us. That's a whole question, but society would have had in any case. The same phenomenon, for instance, the telephone was invented almost simultaneously by many, many people. Alexander Graham Bell gets the credit, but if he had never existed, it would have been invented and probably was. There's a wonderful story about someone who didn't have the $10 for a patent and would have had the patent before Graham Bell got there.
Well, and poor Watson. I figure he was doing the heavy lifting there.
That's right. There's the story.
Professor, I got to run to a break. We'll pick up there as we continue in a moment. Gar Alperovitz is our guest. He's from the University of Maryland, and his new book, co-authored with Lou Daly, is called Unjust Deserts, Wealth and Inequality in the Knowledge Economy. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Hey, dig this. New book out called Unjust Deserts. We're talking with its co-author, Gar Alperovitz. He is a professor of political economy at the University of Maryland. And, Professor, as we look at the current scene, have we reached the limits of the redistribution of wealth to the most wealthy in our society? And do you see an opportunity here to rebalance, to try to redirect our economy and the way things are structured, tax policy, employment, to a more fair distribution of wealth that's based on the actual contribution that an individual has made?
Well, that's, of course, the bottom line in this, in the book and the argument about who deserves what. Most people are aware that, you know, what's going on Wall Street and the banks and the big stock brokers who've taken huge, huge payment, and it's got to come from somebody. The top 1% over the last 25 years, top 1% of Americans has about 10% of the income 25 years ago. They've now got about 20% of the income. That's 1%. The top 1% has more income than the bottom 120 million Americans all taken together. There's a recent UN study which says that in terms of income inequality, we rank number 74 along with Turkmenistan and Ghana. The United States is one of the most unequal of all of the countries, certainly the advanced countries, and indeed many in the world. That money is coming from somebody, and the distribution of income and wealth is one measure. Wealth, by the way, productive wealth particularly, leaving aside people have a share in their homes, but stocks, bonds, who owns American capitalism, if you like, the corporations, the top 1% owns just a little bit under half of the productive assets of the country. So we're a very, very, very unequal country. People like Bill Gates Sr. and Warren Buffett are the leaders of amongst the wealthy people saying something is really wrong here. Warren Buffett likes to go before fellow billionaires and speaking to them, and he often says this: I will give $1 million to anybody here in this room who can prove to me that they pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes than their own secretary. Hmm. The loopholes are so great. And he's never had a taker, by the way.
Yeah.
So we are a highly unequal society. And a good part of it is not deserved in any sense. The people, hardworking people, work hard for their money. Some people find a way to capture huge amounts of this money that actually comes ultimately from the common inheritance, the productivity, the technology, what an advanced society gives us. So I think there's plenty of room for increased taxation, increased changing in inheritance taxes.
The death tax? No, we can't have that.
We can for two reasons. One of the key guys here is Bill Gates Sr.
Yes.
Bill Gates Sr. is very, very strongly in favor of very high inheritance taxes on the same principle.
Yep.
That people who have not earned anything, they don't deserve to just take that which comes to them from the past. He tells a wonderful story, by the way. He says, God gives you a choice. So two souls are about to be born. And he gives you the choice, do you want to be born in the midst of the Sahara Desert, or do you want to be born in the United States? If you go to the Sahara Desert, no inheritance taxes, I promise you. If you go to the United States, inheritance taxes will have to be paid because the society is so rich. Now, obviously, he would go to the United States again, and he makes that point in favor of inheritance tax. One of the most obvious unearned incomes there can be is an inheritance that you get free from the past.
Here's Phil in Eureka with a question. Go ahead, Phil. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you. Listening to your guest, I had another question, but I'll start with my first question was related to when does profit turn into unearned income?
Oh, that's a very good question, because we certainly believe in and argue in this book that good people who do creative things deserve to be rewarded. And moreover, the society needs to have incentives to pay for, to get people to do good investing. But we also know that beyond that, and here we're back to the question of monopoly rents or excess rents,
exactly,
there is a huge amount of money that is being taken over that can't be explained by simply productivity or good entrepreneurship.
Right.
One way to look at this is to go back to the Eisenhower years in the 1950s. This is the period of the greatest economic boom in American history. The marginal tax rate was 91%. So you get some measure of what possibilities might occur between our current 37-38% and the most difficult economic period, the post-war period. And we did very well in the post-war economic boom at 91%.
Phil, I got time for a quickie.
Oh, yeah. Well, and in terms of this banking, quote, crisis, and the fact that the banks took the money and are buying other banks out with the money we gave them, this is not going to spur more competition and fairness in the market. It's going to spur monopolies again.
I agree with you entirely. Most people understand there, by the way, that if the public taxpayer gives that money, we ought to get something back in return. And that's the same principle of this book, Unjust Deserts. If society contributes so much in the nature of knowledge and technology and so forth, the society ought to get a piece of that back, and the individual only the part that he actually earns.
Professor, a real pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for writing the book. Thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Unjust Deserts. We've been talking with Gar Alperovitz. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mr. Obama gives the order.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
Hillary Clinton takes over the State Department.
Let's get to work.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama signed three executive orders today, changing course in the war on terrorism. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
It's a dramatic overhaul of the way the U.S. deals with terror suspects.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
President Obama has also ordered a review of pending war crime trials and a ban on waterboarding and other interrogation methods that critics of Bush administration policies described as harsh.
We can abide by a rule that says we don't torture.
A presidential task force will recommend new policies on handling current and future terror suspects.
We intend to win this fight. We're going to win it on our terms.
Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington. Closing Guantanamo is a challenge, Defense Secretary Robert Gates says, but it's sparking a dramatic change in foreign cooperation.
We may have some opportunities that did not exist before January 20th.
On Iraq and President Obama's plan to remove U.S. combat troops in 16 months,
we have an obligation and a responsibility to provide him with a range of options.
Gates says the focus is shifting to Afghanistan and developing a distinct mission plan.
We need more concrete goals that can be achieved realistically within 3 to 5 years.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Mo. There's even free phone support with real live people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Hillary Clinton took over the State Department today, declaring a new era for America. She was joined by President Obama, who introduced former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell as a special envoy to the Middle East and former Ambassador Richard Holbrooke as the point man in Afghanistan.
Anything short of relentless diplomatic efforts will fail to produce a lasting, sustainable peace in either place.
The new Secretary of State made some phone calls to foreign leaders. The Senate Finance Committee has endorsed President Obama's choice to lead the country out of its economic mess. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Despite the embarrassing disclosure he failed to pay thousands of dollars in taxes, Tim Geithner was okayed to be Treasury Secretary by a committee vote of 18-5. The Republicans who voted no, including Jim Bunning of Kentucky, cited the tax issue.
I cannot in good conscience support the decision to go forward with this nomination.
Most senators accepted it was an innocent mistake. Republican Orrin Hatch said in any case, getting a Treasury Secretary who can help the economy recover is more important.
We are in real difficulty. This man has had extensive experience working in all areas of the financial community.
Full Senate confirmation should quickly follow. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
John Thain is out as chief executive at Merrill Lynch after a meeting this morning with Bank of America boss Ken Lewis. Thain's resignation follows word that Merrill moved up its year-end bonuses so they were paid just before the company reported a $15 billion fourth-quarter loss. Bank of America needed more government bailout money to complete its acquisition of Merrill Lynch. Another 500,000 jobs down the drain. The Labor Department says there were 589,000 new claims for unemployment benefits last week. And Walter Maloney of the National Association of Home Builders says new home construction plunged more than 15% in December to an annual rate of 550,000 units.
This is the lowest pace on record. So it's an eye-popping number to see construction activity this low.
Microsoft, reporting an 11% drop in quarterly profit, says it has to let 5,000 people go. But Google seems to be riding out the recession. CEO Eric Smith says earnings are up.
We had tight control over costs. Something which had eluded us perhaps in the past, but we got the formula down now.
Google's advertising revenue is strong. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles, and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-I.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
As we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, you're invited to join this conversation. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Scott Dick joins me now, our regular contributor on military and veterans affairs. Mention, if you're listening on KRXA 540 in Monterey, you've got a Cal basketball game coming your way at about 4:30. We'll continue on the stream at KRXA540.com. I know I can say that. And you're welcome to join us, but get on the line early at 888-5-PETER-B. As you may know, Scott Dick served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army and retired at the rank of Major. He is a major radio talk show host now on our flagship station in Monterey, KRXA. And when there isn't a basketball game, he follows me every evening. Scott, welcome to the show today.
Thanks,
Peter, for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate what you contribute. You help me understand things. So first and foremost, let me just get your reaction to the inauguration. I'm sure you've shared it with your fans, but this is the first chance I've had to talk with you since Tuesday.
Well, I did something I never do. I got up early.
Yeah.
And I watched it. And I was glued to the television for the entire thing. And I had to laugh at some of the things that people laughed at. But the 2.5 million people waving the American flag, that just was so touching. It made me proud to be an American.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's not the first time you've been proud. Otherwise, I'll have to turn you into Cindy McCain. Because she's always been proud.
You know, I'm not so proud when our government tortures people and violates the Geneva Convention, something that I've worked so hard. One of the reasons I joined the military, Peter, was because I hate bullies. And people who torture are nothing but bullies.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about that. And just your general sense, I mean, most people, when we did our extended broadcast on Inauguration Day on Tuesday, it was amazing to me how many people commented on the real lift that they felt when that Marine helicopter lifted off and took Bush out of Washington.
Well, I'll tell you what I said on my show. Without the intent to be crude, this is absolutely honest, Peter. And I said it to my daughter on the telephone, and she said I felt exactly the same way. I felt like that I had been constipated for the last 8 years, and I just had a giant bowel movement. And I say that in total honesty. I mean, I couldn't think. The sense of relief was so strong, I felt it physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that helicopter with the Bush boys flew into the you know, the obscurity that it so much deserved.
Yeah.
And then the seeing Cheney lifted out of the wheelchair into his car was a different sense. I was just sad that that wasn't going to some place with a, you know, barbed wire around it.
Well, I'm glad your constipation has been relieved. I thought I was moving into the off-color zone the other day when Johnny Steele and I described the helicopters. It got smaller and smaller until it was the size of a booger that you could just flip away with your finger.
leave it to Bush to unite us in this physical revulsion to his presence and this physical relief when he departed.
Well, he invites this kind of crude response because he's such a moron and really dumbed everything down. I mean, he's not a double-digit IQ guy. He is smarter than we often give him credit for. But the way he functioned with that phony Texas accent and just the way he condescended to us for 8 years.
And that's an evil cleverness. It's not native intelligence. It's a kind of cleverness that is the annoying kind, that is just obnoxious. And I have to admit, the right-wing nuts, when they announced him in the mall, thousands of people booed. And if you look on the blogs, the right-wing nuts were just beside themselves that people had really descended to that level and booed the sitting president. And I find that so just ironic, and all of the words that we could use to describe that after 8 years of Bush calling us unpatriotic and insufficiently patriotic and didn't support the troops. They called us all sorts of names, and when he's booed, lowest ratings in history, the right-wing nuts say, the left has no class.
Now, that was pretty restrained. Because I didn't see anybody, it was too cold to moon him, but I didn't see anybody flipping the bird or carrying signs with the, you know, ugly epithets. There were people who called for his trial and conviction.
Right.
But I thought it was remarkably respectful to a man who was so contemptuous of America and us for the last 8 years.
And I heard none of those same voices, Peter, not one, come out of the woodwork and say, Limbaugh playing Barack the Magic Negro on his show was unacceptable, nor the same, the jerk that was in running for the chairman of the RNC, nobody really, they kept saying, well, that was a joke, that's satire, and yet people booing Bush as he flew away or when he was announced, they said, that's bad taste.
Yeah, or singing na na na, hey, 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 kissing goodbye. I mean, that's really pretty mild.
The hypocrisy and the right-wing political correctness and the right-wing, control of speech is just really breathtaking in its lack of self-awareness. That's what I thought during the inauguration. I was reveling in his speech, and I had to say to my wife when we were watching it, I said, the guy's right behind him, and I bet in his head he's thinking, who's he talking about? And then John Stewart said the same thing on his show, and I thought, well, I'm paralleling somebody that's got an evil mind.
Very well put. And Scott, you just described their disconnect from reality. And it is stunning because we heard Bush and Cheney, and there were no pardons. This came as a real surprise to me, and I'm pleased by it, but I fully expected that all the people involved with torture would have been pardoned, and they decided not to do it, not sure why.
No, but Peter, you got this dead wrong. I think that that's going to be on Bush's agenda this Saturday when he has some time to sit down and write those pardons. Because he's not a reader, so he didn't get the memo. So it's a to-do. It's on his to-do list. You know, honey, it's on my honey-do list. I got to get that done this week.
All right.
Saturday.
But the Republicans have been living in a parallel universe that they created for themselves with healthy forests and clear skies and clean coal.
And help from traditional media.
Well, of course. But here's John Boehner today. I think you like to call him, because you know German, Boehner.
Yeah, his name is he's a Boehner.
But, quote, I don't know that there's a terrorist treated better anywhere in the world than what has happened at Guantanamo. We've spent hundreds of millions of dollars to build a facility that has more comforts than a lot of Americans get. Now, here's a guy who can turn a blind eye to torture, to our departure from international conventions, to the obscene barbarism that was imposed on these people. And, you know, we know that many of them are completely innocent. I have no real sympathy for a true terrorist or a combatant who attacked American troops somewhere. But it doesn't mean that you torture them. It doesn't mean that you lock them away without charge indefinitely and essentially consign them to rights that, well, a lower level of rights than many animals get in cultures around the world.
Peter, I just have to say, Boehner is so, this is the insanity of the Republicans in the right wing. Just because he built an interrogation camp and they spent $500 million to do it, doesn't mean that that interrogation camp is not specifically prohibited by Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. So he's just admitting that we've built an interrogation camp in violation of the Geneva Convention, and this is another guy who can't or won't or refuses to read. This is breathtaking. And the general who admits, yeah, we built this interrogation camp, he forgot to look first in Article 3 of the Geneva Convention that specifically prohibits them. And we wrote that, the United States wrote that, because of what the Japanese did in their interrogation camp to Americans and Australians.
Right.
This guy's an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
Just thought I'd share that. No motion here, though.
We got Jackie calling in from Watsonville, listening on KRXA. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Happy New Year to you all.
Same to you.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody's really going to be interested in the families of the troops now and the troops, because Michelle Obama evidently is very interested in their welfare. And isn't it about time that someone took a stand about this, you know?
Well, and General Shinseki at the VA, that's a real good pick.
Yeah. Well, I used to work for the VA. I worked for him for years, and I can tell you one thing, and not all the people that are there to help veterans are that enthusiastic about helping veterans. That's all I'm going to say, okay? Some of them are wonderful, and some don't give a damn. Can I say that?
Yeah, yeah, just don't add the... Well, you can actually even... You know, legally you can say goddamn, but you don't have to.
Oh, I'm not going to say that.
We've got a space between the two, Peter.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. What I did want to say was, I'm not saying me, because I'm not, and I know you're not, and I know your guest isn't, but we can't sit back now and just twiddle our thumbs and figure that we're going to be taken care of and be very passive. We have to watch out, because we don't want this whole thing to start again. You know, it sort of creeps in, all this BS with the and the chicanery and everything with all these Republicans. And I'd like to know what's going to happen to Karl Rove. And, of course, we can't do anything about Rush Limbaugh, I guess, except put a stopper in his mouth. But Karl Rove, I want to know what's going to happen to that guy. You know, maybe they should have a bracelet on his the bottom on his ankle or something to keep him from wandering too far off the reservation so that we can keep an eye on him.
Jackie, one of the interesting things that occurred over the inaugural weekend, and if you listen, you know, I've been sharply critical of Nancy Pelosi for blocking impeachment and other accountability methods for the Bush administration. But she shifted her position and said that at least in relation to the U.S. attorney's case, that she wants to see a full investigation. Now, that's where Karl Rove has ducked the subpoenas from the House Judiciary Committee. And if they open up the U.S. attorney's case, that's a whole can of worms that leads to the Don Siegelman case in Alabama, leads to fixing elections and the phony voter fraud investigations and indictments that they brought.
Right.
And it shows the way that Karl Rove and others directed these U.S. attorneys from Washington.
Yeah.
So if that goes forward, I think that whether Pelosi sees this or not, that it will open a lot of these related issues about torture, about the wiretapping. And so I'm somewhat pleased that Pelosi has made this shift. Go ahead.
And it's about time that, you know, something like that happened. Also, when I think of Mr. Rove, I think of I like animals and I like amphibians and I like the whole thing, but, you know, he reminds me of a blonde toad, and I hope he gets his just desserts.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. And, Scott, I know you have a comment, but I need to take a break. We'll get it on the other side.
Okay.
Jackie, appreciate your call. 888-5 Peter B is the toll-free number. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service features full service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair. And service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located at 4665 Soquel Drive at the intersection with Porter Street in Soquel. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Maybe they forgot it's winter. Here's Fox News teasing a segment on cold weather by mocking the existence of global warming.
So if the world is getting warmer, then why is it so darn cold? Some answers next.
If we had some global warming, it wouldn't be 20 below. It wouldn't be 20 below. If we had some global warming, it wouldn't be shoveling snow.
And if that wasn't bad enough, here's Rush Limbaugh, without a hint of irony, accusing the media of being racist in their coverage of President Obama.
We are being told that we have to hope he succeeds, that we have to bend over, grab the ankles, bend over forward, backward, whichever, because his father was black, because this is the first black president. We've got to accept this.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Give it back.
The Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston on AM 1510 WWZN. And our program today is heard on the weekend on KPOJ Portland and the mighty 1090 Progressive Talk in Seattle, KPTK. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for the voice we are on the memory shine. Thank you for the pictures of living in the beautiful black and white.
We continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. Lines open if you want to join us, 888-5-PETER-B. And I had to go to the break there, Scott, but I could tell you had some reaction to Jackie's question about what do we do with Karl Rove, Turd Blossom?
Well, I think we ought to just put him through the system, the same system that he put, a just system, a system that actually uses the rule of law and justice to adjudicate his case. But I think he has some answers that need to be given because his conduct, if not pursued and investigated and let it lead to where it will lead, will embolden other creeps like Karl Rove to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
What he has done, what we think he's done, and you know, if he didn't do anything wrong, then you know, we should be allowed to know that.
Well, sure. And if he can prove his innocence, I want to see it.
Peter, this whole thing with the Democrats, you know, it's suddenly because they have a Democratic daddy, they grew this spine in the press. You know, it's the press. We're gonna believe you're gonna get. They're like, oh, shut up. Where were you the last 8 years? And now a president who said, okay, I'm going to be more open. And now they're going to start asking questions. The same with Congress. Now they're going to investigate. Now that, you know, it's ridiculous, and they should just go back to the ineffectual beings that they are. They bug me, you can tell.
Yeah, I can.
Plenty of criticism for Democrats President Barack, I've been calling him senator-elect for so long. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the executive orders issued on Thursday. There are four of them. One orders Guantanamo closed within a year. A second formally bans torture, requiring the Army field manual be used as the guide for interrogation. There seems to be a little wiggle room about CIA exceptions there. I haven't read it, but that's what I've heard. And there's a third executive order establishing an interagency task force. I think this is a smart move to allow every interested party in the government to review the cases of those held at Guantanamo before they are charged or released. And a fourth delays the trial of Ali Al-Mari. He is the American resident, not a citizen, who was picked up, and he's been held at the Navy brig in Charleston, I believe for over 6 years now. And his case is pending before the Supreme Court, so by suspending the process, it appears the Supreme Court will make a critical decision about how his case is handled. I'm very pleased with this, Scott. I'm sure you feel the same way, but do you think it covers all the bases?
Well, it doesn't cover the knucklehead bases. You know, the knuckleheads have come out of the woodwork to say, well, you know, all we're just going to do, and this is my favorite, Peter, all we're going to do is take those terrorists and return them to the battlefield. And as somebody who spent most of my adult lifetime in the military, you don't get terrorists off the battlefield, morons. You get soldiers off the battlefield. It's a whole different deal. You get fighters off the battlefield. And so I love it how they say, we're just going to return these terrorists to the battlefield. And my question is, what battlefield? Where? And the other right-wing man that's out there that they're starting to quote already is that phony statistic that you and I both have talked about, how those 61 people released from Guantanamo to their countries have gone on and returned to the battlefield and terrorism. And we know of only one.
Yeah.
And if you were to ask the honest question, well, you know, take an average guy, hold on to him for 6 years and torture him, and then see what happens when you let him go.
Mm-hmm.
He might be really, really pissed off and want revenge. You never know.
Well, there is one gentleman, I think he's a Pakistani here. Yes, Saad Muhammad Iqbal was held for 6 years and then released without charge from Guantanamo Bay. And instead of going back out on the battlefield, he's going to the courtroom. He's suing the United States government, and I fully support that suit.
Yep.
And I hope he gets a nice, fat settlement for the 6 or 7 years of his life that were just taken away from him.
And I'd like to see that money taken out of Bush and Cheney's pension.
That'd be nice.
Yes, but it won't be.
You work on that, right?
Yeah.
We'll take a break and return for our listeners on KRXA in Monterey. You've got a Cal basketball game coming up next. You can continue to listen to our program on the stream. That's on the web stream at KRXA540.com. And you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. More coming up with Scott Dick right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Oath, take two. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It began with the famous stumble.
The office of President of the United States.
Fox News noticed right away.
You know, Megan, I have to say, I'm not sure that Barack Obama really is the President of the United States because the oath of office is set in the Constitution.
At first, the White House said no big deal, but then CNN got wind of something.
What happened was I overheard this conversation, started trying to figure out what was going on.
The Chief Justice was on the way for a redo. Reporters were duly called in, but
CNN and other news organizations have now lodged a complaint about this. We're trying to get answers. The White House has not explained yet.
The problem? No TV cameras, only a still camera.
If it was important enough for the Chief Justice of the United States to come back and do this a second time, it certainly seems important enough for television networks to get it on tape.
Yes, does the redo count if there's only a still picture? Oh, but that's not all.
What about the executive orders and other acts taken between noon of yesterday and 7:30 Eastern today? Are they going to redo those?
Yes, maybe he should redo the inaugural dances because technically there was no inauguration. Oh, but that's not all. Remember this line from the speech?
44 Americans
have now taken the presidential oath.
Since he hadn't really taken the oath, the number should have been 43. And since Grover Cleveland served twice, it should have been 42. There. Day one's in the books. And it's a reminder that now that he is president, that is the last redo he is going to get. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross, on the web at DaveRoss.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our conversation about military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. And we've got lines open for you if you'd like to join in at 888-5-PETER-B. Boston, haven't heard from you today. You know the number, 888-573-8372. And Scott, another thing or two about the change in the torture regime and, of course, the change in the regime there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. People like you and I have been calling for investigations and accountability for the clear lawbreaking that has occurred and has been admitted to by principals like Bush and Cheney. And Wednesday on Capitol Hill, Carl Levin, the senator from Michigan and chair of the Armed Forces Committee, said that he has advised Eric Holder, the attorney general, whose nomination is on hold right now due to Republican shenanigans, there needs to be, I believe, an accounting of torture in this country. He said he had suggested to Holder that he appoint an outside person who's got real credibility to continue to investigate. So I'm hopeful that even if Obama expresses detachment, disinterest, or even opposition, that we have people like Levin, Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, a former U.S. attorney, who have said they believe it's their job to investigate these issues. Now, they could have done it a few years ago, but better late than never in my book.
Well, I think, Peter, that the president is playing good cop, bad cop, and I'll give him that. He doesn't have to always play bad cop. I thought what he said in the inauguration speech pretty much signaled that. And he's going to let these other guys, if they want to suddenly become junkyard dogs or appear to be junkyard dogs or play the role of a junkyard dog, I'm all for it. It's a little bit late, you would think. We have controlled Congress. Democrats have controlled Congress for, what, now 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You know, they're now surrounded by a strong man, and so maybe they feel a little empowered. Of course, they're all like 20 years older than he is, but I find it just amazing. So yeah, let's investigate. And whatever that leads us, let it lead it. I don't care if there are Democrats who knew about the program, did nothing to stop it or to out it. Mm-hmm. They should be involved in the investigation as well, because we need no politicians, Republican or Democratic, especially the blue blood kind whose sons and daughters don't serve in the military, to just roll over when somebody says, you know what, I got a hankering to torture somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because Cheney referenced that with in some of his exit interviews, and Rove has brought it up in his, quote, commentaries on the Fox News channel, where they're saying that Pelosi is exposed or complicit, because she was briefed on the illegal wiretapping, she was briefed on the detention and torture policies, and that's probably true, and I'll accept that if she has some exposure, or Jay Rockefeller does, or Jane Harman does, I offer them no cover. But it's interesting because Karl Rove in particular teamed up with Dana Perino on the O'Reilly Show, I think it was on Monday, and they were trying to say that because it's possible that Pelosi and the other Democratic leaders have some exposure on torture and wiretapping, that they shouldn't pursue the U.S. Attorney's case. Now, there is no indication that Pelosi was briefed on how Karl Rove was telling U.S. attorneys to file phony voter fraud charges or to string up Don Siegelman in Alabama. And so I think that's a fanciful kind of conflation where they're trying to suggest that any Democratic complicity would obtain to all of the lawbreaking that they were involved in.
First of all, Peter, this is a case where you just have to – I get out my remote control – when Dana Perino and Karl Rove, Turd Blossom, start talking, and change it to the Weather Channel. Because to listen, for any reason to listen to them talk is just a waste of brain cells, and I believe causes brain damage. So, you know, if somebody...
I was only there for 2 minutes, I promise. I changed the channel real quick.
I mean, it'd be better if you snuffed, I mean, if you huffed, you know, oven cleaner than listen to those two. So, so what? So, that's all I can say. It's the same question somebody asked me, what do you think of Nancy Reagan endorsing John McCain? My answer was so.
Right.
Yeah. They don't really care what they say. They're right-wing. I mean, Rush Limbaugh went off the deep end yesterday talking about how the only reason that Barack Obama opened up the door to transparency was to make it easier for the media to get George Bush's documents.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine with me. I love Rush being apoplectic, and I love the threat that they feel that a sunshine in our government is going to cause those bacteria to die.
It's brain damage. And then the other thing he said was that George Bush instituted the super secret laws to protect Bill Clinton. That almost spit out what I was eating, because it was only to protect George H. from the weapons for hostages and Iran-Contra and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the swap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you read that, by the way, the Freedom of Information Act executive order?
I've seen the news accounts. I haven't read the whole thing.
One person has the right. One person can declare executive privilege. You know who that is?
Barack Hussein Obama.
That's right. And a former president, if he claims executive privilege, it goes to the Office of Legal Counsel. And, you know, she's one of those bona fide junkyard dogs.
Yeah, she is.
Good luck getting that passed through.
Her name is Dawn Johnson. And I will forever be grateful to Rachel Maddow for putting up a picture of Don Johnson, the sockless Miami Vice guy, to help me remember her name.
Good news on the military front, if you want to get into that briefly.
Yeah, go right ahead, and then I got a caller for you.
Finally, of course, after the inauguration of Barack Obama as president, the Army investigation has now said that the electrocution death of a U.S. soldier in Iraq was negligent homicide caused by the contractor KBR and two of its supervisors. Finally, of course, they also were running scared. You know, you figure combat soldiers in Iraq, they wouldn't be too afraid of Dick Cheney. But apparently they were. A bunch of cowards. So it comes out now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of 10 soldiers, 2 Marines and 2 civilians who died as a result of electrical hazards related to the KBR run showers, swimming pools, and workspaces between March 2003 and January 2008. And then up in Sarah, you know who, country, they just cut off the pensions of 27 very elderly World War II Native Alaskan veterans, all of $557 a month, and they're reviewing 37 more because of a federal law change, and they're now declaring that, well, they don't get credit for their National Guard service during World War II, so they're not due pensions. So now I hope somebody fights that because, you know, these aren't rich people, and that $557 doesn't even amount to the amount she spent on for refurbishing her office in Wasilla.
Yeah, or even one day's makeup during the campaign.
Right. So it's disgusting, and it's typical for Republicans who say that they support the troops and our veterans, but it's a complete lie.
Well, it is amazing what they are willing to say and do. And, Scott, here's one. Dick Cheney, for what we think is only the fifth time, has publicly acknowledged that he disagreed with George W. Bush on something. And this time it is the case of pardoning Scooter Libby, the chief of staff to the vice president who leaked Valerie Plame's name and didn't get convicted of that, but got convicted of lying to federal investigators. His sentence was commuted by Bush before he served a day in jail, but he was not pardoned. And here's a quote from the wheelchair guy. Scooter Libby is one of the most capable and honorable men I've ever known. He's been an outstanding public servant throughout his career. He was the victim of a serious miscarriage of justice. And I strongly believe that he deserved a presidential pardon. Obviously, I disagree with President Bush's decision.
Well, why didn't he think that about Martha Stewart when she lied to federal investigators?
Yep.
She spent six months in prison like a man. And Scooter Libby was too much of a wimp to do that.
That's right.
So, you know, the selective enforcement of laws by Republicans and conservatives continues to baffle me. I had a conversation last night on my show about Bush not being a real conservative. I said, what are you talking about? Absolutely, he embodies conservatism. He embodies Republican values. It's selective punishment, selective justice for people who can't defend themselves. And if you have any questions, just look around at who they decided to punish and who the Attorney General made famous quote, I'll never forget, some violations of the law aren't crimes, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is amazing. And for Cheney to call the Libby conviction a serious miscarriage of justice, it just shows, again, like Boehner, how out of touch these people are. They've been living in an alternate universe that they devised for themselves. And that's how he can say something like this, because, you know, the record is very clear that
sure.
Libby lied to investigators. And the only real question is why Patrick Fitzgerald let Karl Rove change his testimony on five different occasions to save his own skin.
Yeah, I agreed. And I have to say that some of the traffic out there from the right wing nuts is pretty breathtaking. There's some ex-ambassador, and he's running the Institute of American Democracy and Freedom, which is a neoconservative, read that, conservative Republican think tank, if you can put think and neoconservative in the same, you know, universe.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm really disappointed in the president after all these decisions. Now he leaves office with shame. And I was like, okay, torture and attacking a country that did us no harm, et cetera, none of that, that's not shameful, but not pardoning Scooter Libby, now he leaves with shame on his head. And I thought, where do these people, what rock did they crawl out from underneath?
Mm-hmm. Well, and
to go concrete it down.
The real miscarriage of justice is that Fitzgerald didn't get Rove and others who collaborated in the exposure of Valerie Plame Wilson, and that she ended up losing her job for a political payback that Cheney was engineering against her husband.
Yep.
And that's the real miscarriage here. But, of course, Dick can't see that. Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, welcome to the program, and go ahead with Scott Dick.
Okay, yeah, real quickly, and also about that prosecutor Fitzgerald, they used to call him the Irish alligator. I call him because of his lack of guts against George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Those are the real guys that really admitted to, basically, to outing Valerie Plame. I call him the Irish salamander. He didn't want to stand up to that at all. And I wonder, your last guest, the last hour, Professor Alperovitz, Peter, there's a great piece, I emailed it to you from the archives of commondreams.org by Glenn Ford. He does the Black Commentator website and Black Agenda report. It's titled Big Media Steals 5,100 Digital TV Channels. So if you look for that in your email, you might be interested in that. And also, I wanted to ask Scott about Afghanistan. Going back to October of last year, Secretary of Defense Gates, he was making charges of calling to the British representative and the Canadian representative in Afghanistan, saying that there was no military victory in Afghanistan. He called them defeatist. But now they're saying that what they really need most of all is not a military surge, but a political surge. And what they're claiming that also the Taliban is claiming that Karzai is just a puppet of the Americans and all that. I don't see the Taliban winning any kind of outright victory, but Hamid Unakal Karzai, I have to agree, he's viewed by most of the Afghan peasantry and people as being very corrupt.
Yeah.
And very much not trusted. Do you see anything? What do you see in the incoming Obama administration? Do you see that they will switch over to, instead of a military surge, maybe a political surge, a humanitarian surge in Afghanistan?
Well, I don't know if you call that a humanitarian surge, because a political surge, who are they going to bring there? The State Department people who don't even want to, who won't serve there now? Yeah, I mean, we see the Afghanistan is a direct result of politics.
Well, to be fair to Obama, I disagree with his intention to put more American troops in Afghanistan without a clear mission and a clear exit strategy. At the same time, he has articulated beyond just the military buildup to trying to bring NATO into greater involvement in what we're doing, trying to engage some of the neighbors in the region to help stabilize the Karzai government. But I think fundamentally it's flawed because Afghanistan is not a real nation. There is no functioning central government there that gets beyond Kabul and maybe Kandahar. And we have a series of warlords there whose loyalties extend to whoever paid them or gave them heroin last.
Right.
And so I think it's a lose-lose situation. And I still feel it's my job to keep piping up until the Obama administration offers some recognition of that and adjusts its intentions.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I mean, they have to come up with a strategy. I think right now it's just a holding pattern. We have to get out of Iraq. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's step number one. And then step number two is try to stabilize Afghanistan, to send more troops in there to protect. I think this is going to turn into a force protection mission. And that involves some risk and some patrolling. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll come to some agreement, don't bother us, we won't bother you. Now, is that going to do anything to help Afghanistan itself? No. Will that move the government politically farther along? No.
And will we stop bombing weddings?
Well, maybe. Maybe with a force protection mission, there's no reason to bomb weddings. And we ought to turn that over to, we ought to create some kind of Afghani element to use the command, Afghani commandos exclusively to do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're running to a break. Brian, thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you, and I'll check the email after the show. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us. peter@peterbcollins.com if you'd like to email me. More in a moment with Scott Dick, right here on the PBC show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service features full service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located at 4665 Soquel Drive at the intersection with Porter Street and Soquel. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nikan Robinson. Four on three off the left side. Jamal Boykin, the open floor. Goes into Viney and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
The Bears return home this Thursday as Oregon State comes to the Haas Pavilion. Basketball at its best. 7 p.m. KRXA Thursday.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Maybe they forgot it's winter. Here's Fox News teasing a segment on cold weather by mocking the existence of global warming.
So if the world is getting warmer, then why is it so darn cold? Some answers next.
If we had some global warming, it wouldn't be 20 below. It wouldn't be 20 below. If we had some global warming, I wouldn't be shoveling snow.
And if that wasn't bad enough, here's Rush Limbaugh, without a hint of irony, accusing the media of being racist in their coverage of President Obama.
We are being told that we have to hope he succeeds, that we have to bend over, grab the ankles, bend over forward, backward, whichever, because his father was black, because this is the first black president. We've got to accept this.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And a shout out to our weekend listeners in Missoula, Montana on KMPT. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Coming up after the top of the hour, Stephen Zunis from the University of San Francisco will join us. We'll talk about the Peace Ball that he attended in Washington on inauguration night. And also we'll go into detail about the latest in Gaza. That's coming up next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott, as promised, Obama called the military leaders into the Oval Office. And we have precious few details, or at least I haven't found any real details so far. But we do know that what was expected is that he would define a new mission and instruct them to execute it. Tell me practically how it works when a president brings in the team almost entirely intact from the previous administration that executed the so-called surge and says, well, that's the old order. Here are the new orders. How do they respond, and do they, salute swiftly and execute with execute every intention of the president, or does it get massaged and watered down by the military bureaucracy, and, you know, will the end result resemble what Obama imagined when he started this process?
Well, two things. He pulled in the right guys. He did not bring in the Joint Chiefs. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He brought in the boss, the second in command, the chairman, the number two guy, and the combatant commanders. Those are the guys who execute strategy and define tactics for their theaters. So those guys are the ones who are making, you know, the trips back and forth. They really know what's going on in the theaters, or they're completely incompetent. As to a change in mission, he's the boss. And if he detects, this is going to be very important for the president, if he detects the slightest bit of hesitancy or wishy-washiness, they become civilians who want to spend more time with their families.
And do you think that he issued any kind of a threat or even a statement to that effect, that you either execute this or I expect your resignation?
Generals don't become generals because they don't understand politics or political maneuvering. That doesn't seem to be his style. That seems to be more Dick Cheney's than George Bush's style. It's like every time we sat around in an office and some general was yelling at us. The guy was lame ass, because a real general, somebody who was confident in their abilities, somebody who knew what they were doing, somebody who was intelligent, knew. He didn't have to yell at us. He's a general. The president of the United States speaks their job. Their oath of office requires that they execute, and they execute it with alacrity, and they may be damn glad to get their troops that are on their 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th tours out of Iraq and Afghanistan out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So only a fool, only a true right-wing fool, like this guy Richard Carlson, who used to be an ambassador, would try to somehow muddy this up some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out, and if they stick to the timeline, either the one articulated during the campaign by Obama, essentially 16 months, one brigade a month, one to two, and also the SOFA agreement that Bush executed with the Iraqis right before that shoe was thrown.
Well, Peter, first of all, I want to make sure that people, that you understand that Fred Kagan is probably not going to be having tea cookies at the White House anymore. Neither is that general, the one that was Petraeus' other half, you know, the missing brain lobe. I forgot his name.
Well, didn't they keep Ludi on, though, as the war czar?
Who?
William Ludi.
Yeah, well, exactly. Who?
Yeah.
What is it? The war czar. I mean, he's probably the one that goes over and gets the PowerPoint briefings off the fax machine. not for the president, but for the president's lieutenant colonel military aide. Or colonel lieutenant military aide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy doesn't get it. Well, send Lutz over to get it. Send that general who doesn't have a job over there. I mean, that guy must be like the Maytag repairman. So, you know, for the likes of the nuts that have had access and real impact on our so-called strategy, on the mental processes of the president, those guys are out. People like Susan Rice and some people who can actually think, Eric Shinseki, it's just a breath. And I have to tell you, Peter, I was very impressed. Barack Obama did not pull the 16 months out of his you-know-where.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to somebody who said, just like I said, man, you can't get more than a brigade out of Iraq, no matter how hard you try. There's not enough strategic lift to get it out of there. And we're not talking about a wholesale run, you know, with your hands over your heads. We're talking about getting out of there with some elegance.
Yeah. All right, Scott, always a pleasure to talk with you, and you amuse and inform me. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, Peter. It's always a pleasure. Right. Check your IM.
I will.
All right.
Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show. Oh, I had an IM, and I never accepted it.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama, who ran for president as the candidate of change, made some big changes today. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
With the stroke of a pen, President Obama reversed some of the Bush administration's most controversial policies in the war on terrorism. Signing executive orders closing the Guantanamo Bay prison within a year, shuttering the CIA's overseas prisons, and banning harsh interrogation tactics.
We can abide by a rule that says we don't torture.
Mr. Obama said he's sending a message to the world that the United States will vigilantly prosecute the struggle against terrorism.
And we are going to do so in a manner that is consistent with our values and our ideals. We intend to win this fight. We're going to win it on our terms.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington. The White House has begun reviewing America's war priorities.
They intend to look at Iraq and Afghanistan holistically.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates says Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen sees challenges shifting troops and resources to Afghanistan.
It's just a very delicate balance because we haven't built out the army yet. We don't have more capability.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Hillary Clinton launched her new career as a diplomat today, and when President Obama visited the State Department, she praised his approach to foreign policy.
You are, through word and deed, sending a loud and clear signal that diplomacy is a top priority of your presidency, and that our nation is once again capable of demonstrating global leadership in pursuit of progress and peace.
Clinton and Mr. Obama have appointed special envoys to key trouble spots, former Ambassador Richard Holbrooke to Afghanistan, former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell to the Middle East. The Senate Finance Committee voted on Tim Geithner today.
Mr. Chairman, the final tally is 18 ayes and 5 nays.
The ayes have it. The nomination is already reported.
Despite nagging questions about Geithner's failure to pay $34,000 in taxes, the panel recommended that he be confirmed as Treasury Secretary, and that's expected to happen on Monday. Late today, the Senate confirmed 4 more Obama appointees: SEC Commissioner Mary Shapiro, UN Ambassador Susan Rice, Housing Secretary Sean Donovan, and Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. In Bank of America's troubled acquisition of Merrill Lynch, a big head rolled today: Merrill CEO John Thain. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has been following this story.
After Bank of America agreed to buy Merrill back in September, Merrill's losses continued to soar. They reached $41 billion for the year. And yet, 4 days before the merger was to go through, Thain agreed to pay $4 billion in bonuses to his top executives. It's an extraordinary amount of money for a company that had just lost, more than $40 billion for the year.
The Dow fell 105 points today. The Nasdaq lost 41. This is CBS News.
How to take the hassle out of buying carpet and a big chunk of the cost, too. Step 1, go to the Home Depot and get the new lower price on carpet. Step 2, get the new lower price for insulation. Just $139 for unlimited rooms. Step 3. There is no step 3. Told you it was easy.
Get the new lower price of just $139 for basic carpet installation. For any size home, as many rooms as you like. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
The Arctic chill extends all the way to Florida now, and that's threatening the citrus crops. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
Sub-freezing temperatures had citrus growers up all night.
There is going to be some damage out there. There are growers that are cutting fruit and getting ice right now.
Florida Citrus Mutual's Andrew Meadows says we may not know how widespread the damage is until next week. He says many growers protect their crops with sprinklers.
When you spray water over your crop, that formation of ice actually creates energy, which protects the fruit and raises the temperature a little bit.
Last night, Central Florida temperatures were the lowest in 6 years. Forecasters say tonight will be just a little less cold. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
What are the odds? Well, actually, about 1,000,000 to 1. The same 3 numbers for Nebraska's Pick 3 lottery were drawn on 2 consecutive nights, Monday and Tuesday. Lottery officials say 4 people beat the odds against winning and collected $600 each. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Mo. There's even free phone support with real live people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast, and heard on the weekends in Portland, Seattle, and Missoula, Montana. Oh, and we just learned our Monterey listeners are getting the Peter B. Collins Show. The Cal basketball game starts a little later. So join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And returning to our program right now is Stephen Zunis. He is a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, and he was one of our contributors on our extended coverage of the Obama inauguration in Washington on Tuesday. He is still in the nation's capital, and I got an email from a guy who wanted me to make the distinction between Washington State and Washington, D.C. He's in D.C. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
And I want to ask you to expand a little bit on the piece that you posted at alternate.org entitled, Yes, We Can Dare to Hope, But We'll Need to Work Hard to Bring Real Change. And it's based on your experience with all of the people who gathered with you and one of your daughters on the National Mall in Washington in freezing temperatures to witness this historic inauguration Tuesday.
It was really amazing. It was just... see the country come together like this, the excitement, the hope, the energy. I was just, and just a celebration, both of the new president and the departure of the old president. One of the great moments was when Bush's helicopter took off for Andrews Air Force Base and to catch the plane back to his home in Texas. Hundreds of thousands of people started waving, singing, na, 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 hey, hey, goodbye. It was a wonderful party atmosphere, but also an awareness of the real serious work we have ahead of us.
Yeah. And talk about the mood there, because you got there early to grab a spot, and you said initially the crowd was mostly African-Americans.
And most of those who got there super early, like us, we're African Americans, not just in the D.C. area, but from all over, and they, many have traveled great distances at some financial degree of financial and other sacrifice because they wanted to see this historic occasion, one that they never thought they would actually see themselves, and it was very, very powerful. We were singing some of the old spirituals from the civil rights movement, and it was just a again, the energy and the enthusiasm there was just extraordinary.
Well, and I learned quite a bit about you, Stephen. I've talked with you many times, but we've never sat down and had dinner together and talked about our family histories. But I was intrigued to learn that you grew up in the South, that your dad was teaching at Tougaloo, the black college in Mississippi, back in the 1960s.
Yes, he was actually faculty advisor for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was the SNCC, and this is back when they had white faculty advisors. They became more nationalist later on in their history, but and so our house was shot at. You know, it was a pretty intense time. We didn't, being white, we obviously didn't weren't respected as much as other people. But we have very vivid memories of Jim Crow, and I. Just for me, as a Southerner, just you know, being there and watching this was very important for me too, and because seeing what grassroots struggle could do, the power of nonviolent action to create this kind of change, and yet with this change, even though African Americans could assume some positions of leadership, it was always pretty clear that white men would always be at the very top until Tuesday, when we saw a Biden man being sworn in as president of the United States.
Yeah. And, Stephen, now that I think back, it's exactly 50 years ago that my father, because of his work, was required to move us to Florida one winter. And we were there in the center of the state in a little town called Winter Haven. And there was a very clear distinction. Now, I didn't see water fountains that said white or colored. But there was a ghetto, a neighborhood for African Americans. We called them Negroes at the time. And it was called Colored Town. And it was on the other side of the railroad tracks. I mean, these are vivid reminders of the segregation of the South. And so to see how far we've come in my own lifetime is really gratifying, and I am glad that you had that experience with these Americans on the Mall, because I really think that there is a new sense of unity. And it's interesting to me that Obama has not used the language, the tactics, the techniques of the civil rights movement and those who are his senior, like Jesse Jackson and Ralph Abernathy, Joe Lowry, and Congressman Lewis from Georgia. Yet he has become, I think, more comfortable in acknowledging that he stands on their shoulders.
Yeah, very much so. But the one part of his legacy that he is very much part of, I believe, is that, you know, he started his political work as a community organizer. His recognition that real change, you know, comes from below. That yes, the Kennedy administration, Johnson administration, helped, you know, push through civil rights legislation. The federal courts played an important role, of course. But none of that would not have happened were they not pressured from below, were not the large numbers of ordinary Americans who put their bodies on the line, facing down the fire hoses and attack dogs. And so much of Obama's theme has been, this is not about me, it's about you, that he uses the we in his speeches. And I think, and that's one thing that really excites me about him being president, that he does, you know, recognize that ultimate power, does come from the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I am so pleased. What I've been describing is I have the imaginary Jumbotron here at the massive Peter B. Collins studio, and currently it shows Barack Obama batting 1,000. It won't stay that way. I know he's going to disappoint me on critical issues that I care about, but his first 2 days he has honored key pledges that he made to issue those executive orders, four of them that he signed this morning, to close Guantanamo, end the torture policies, create an interagency task force to carefully review the status of those who've been confined in prison without charge and indefinitely at Guantanamo, and to address the case of Al Mari, a legal resident of the United States who was swept up and appears to be, at least to me, not a serious threat or a serious terrorist of any sort. But Obama basically put his trial on hold pending the Supreme Court review that is underway in the current session. So I'm very pleased with that. The Open Government, Freedom of Information Act, reduced secrecy, limits on lobbyists and the revolving door, and the call for a freeze for the top White House staffers. All of that really, I think, sends a very strong message about the tone that Barack Obama is setting.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, this is a guy who taught constitutional law at one of the top law schools in the country. So he knows the Constitution. He doesn't have to wait for the Supreme Court to tell him what to do. He has a good idea of what's going on and what the government should and shouldn't do, where it's crossing the line and where it's not. And we his awareness of this we're seeing, you know, in his first 36 hours in office, and I think that's a very, very positive sign.
Yeah. And Stephen, I'm going to take our break now, and when we come back, I want to talk about the situation in Gaza, which is getting even uglier now that Israel has pulled out. But I was touched by the choice that Obama made. The first international phone call that he made was to Abu Abbas, the Fatah leader in Gaza. And we'll talk about the import of that, but, you know, the fact that he didn't call Zippy Livni or Ehud Olmert in Israel first says a little something. We'll see if we can parse that and see what it all means as we continue. Stephen Zunis is my guest, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. And we'll continue. If you have a question or comment you want to join us about Gaza, I welcome your comments. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KRXA 540. This is Hal Ginsberg with your traffic on January 22nd, Thursday. We've got a collision on Silver Valley Road, all the way to southbound Highway 101 in Hollister-Gilroy. We've also got a traffic hazard reported at Juanita Woods Road and Apple Knoll in Santa Cruz. It's rainy outside and cool. Enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up on AM 540.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
After 22 days of brutality, Israeli forces have largely withdrawn from the Gaza Strip. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stephen Zunis is our guest, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. And it's gotten even uglier, because now what we're learning is that Israel's invasion of Gaza was used by the warring factions of Fatah and Hamas to settle scores with each other. And Hamas is now torturing and shooting in the legs and apparently has executed some individuals.
who they've accused of consorting with the enemy and supporting the Israelis. One of the allegations, which I cannot prove or disprove, is that some of the Fatah leaders actually gave target information to the Israelis so that they could take out Hamas leaders. Again, I cannot prove that, but it is something that is worth talking about. Did we lose you, Stephen? Yeah, we lost that call there, Nick, if you want to get Stephen Zunis back. So as we add to this, there are now very well-founded charges against Israel for war crimes, for the disproportionate use of force, and for the illegal use of white phosphorus. And we know that on the final day, the Saturday, when Israel was just announcing its own unilateral ceasefire, that a school in Gaza was set on fire by a series of white phosphorus contacts. I don't know exactly how it occurred. And Stephen Zunis, as we look at this, once again, we have roughly 1,300 Palestinians who died. The death toll for Israelis is still in the range of 13. Four of those were soldiers killed by friendly fire. Only three were civilians, according to the Associated Press. So we have, in my view, a very disproportionate response that does not match the Israeli intent that this was a defensive way of trying to stop Hamas from firing rockets into Israel. And as we look at this with these Palestinian factions fighting one another, this is even more of a mess than it was before Israel blew the ceasefire on our election day, November 4th.
Exactly. And we've seen this before. We saw this when Israel attacked Lebanon in 2006. It ended up strengthening Hezbollah and the hardline Shiite movement in Lebanon. We saw this in Israel's big offensive in the West Bank in the spring of 2002, which didn't really harm the Palestine Authority's ability to govern effectively, which helped lead to the rise of Hamas. And, I mean, this kind of military action just makes things worse.
And so I lay much of this on Condoleezza Rice. She was Secretary of State, pushed for those elections that won the parliamentary majority and control for Hamas, and then proceeded to support Israel as it took unilateral moves to punish the Palestinians for having an election and electing Hamas. And,
exactly. And,
go ahead, Steve.
And it's even more so the fact that the moderates were not rewarded, that the Palestinians that said we are willing to live at peace with Israel, and just 22% of Palestine, the West Bank and Gaza Strip, shared co-capital of Jerusalem, security guarantees, this is all we're demanding, and the United States and Israel's response is no, that's too much. They more than doubled the number of Israeli settlements and land seizures in the course of the peace process. And so the Palestinians looked at this and said, hey, this moderation isn't working. We're going to go for Hamas. And, if we really wanted to curb Hamas, you know, if it had been an independent Palestinian, a viable Palestinian state, even just the West Bank and Gaza, you know, Hamas would not have gained the kind of popularity it did. So the peace process, only 15% of the Palestinians in 1993 supported Hamas. And by the time they had the elections 2 years ago, it was almost half. And it's very much, I mean, part of it, of course, was Fatah's part, fault. They were very corrupt and everything like that. But, if the United States had shepherded the peace process in such a way that would reward the moderation, Hamas would never have gotten to where it is today.
And, Stephen, I pointed out before the break that the first world leader that Barack Obama called was Abu Mazen, the leader of the Fatah movement. Is that a good thing? Does it show that he, at least is tilting a little bit toward the interest of Palestinians? Or is it a bad thing because it marks Abu Abbas as a sympathizer with the United States and subjects him to potential retaliation from Hamas?
Well, I think that given that Obama is a very different kind of leader than Bush, and that he seems to be more interested in a genuine peace settlement, I think it could, could be a positive thing that he is willing to try to reward moderation. I mean, he was he's very clear that he's very hard line towards Hamas, doesn't think we should negotiate with them, everything and all that. And he's very, very clear that if U.S. commitment to Israel's legitimate security needs is unshakable. But he also realizes that if you do want to curb the power of Hamas, and if you do want Israel to be truly secure, you need to encourage a moderate Palestinian leadership.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stephen, in Thursday's New York Times, there is a remarkable op-ed credited to Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya. And in it, he argues, he makes the case, I mean, it's really fascinating, that Israel deserves, he says the Jewish people want and deserve their homeland, and the Palestinians, too, deserve their homeland. And he makes the case for a one-state solution. Is that possible in your view?
Maybe eventually, a few generations down, I think the nationalism of both sides, Jewish nationalism, which is popularly known as Zionism, and Palestinian nationalism, are too strong right now to realistically, you know, think of a one-state solution. I mean, I would see, you know, a two-state solution is still the best way, and maybe over time that could evolve to a confederation, and maybe over time to a binational state, and then maybe eventually, one state. But it's something that's going to take, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the nation-state system itself may be very different by that time anyway. So, And I think this is, given the history of Jews as a minority in a lot of countries, a lot of them do feel a great need to have their own state, and I can mm-hmm. understand that. But the problem is that the biggest threat to Israel right now, I believe, is the failure of the Israeli government to be willing to allow a Palestinian state to be side by side. And with all these settlements and everything throwing off the demographics, if this keeps up, it may be too late for a two-state solution.
Yeah. And in 10 seconds, George Mitchell named as an envoy by Secretary of State Clinton. Is that a good thing in your view?
I have a few issues with George Mitchell, but I think by and large he is more balanced, more moderate than what you see in most of the Washington political establishment. His role in Northern.
Stephen, I got to wrap there. Stephen Zunis, thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. Stores for extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, throwing up the phone lines for the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome. You know the rules. They're barely there. Any subject, any viewpoint, anywhere within the sound of my voice.
Radio cast from pirates, all the things you're living in.
Triple 855 Peter B. That's the toll free number. 888-573-8372. By the way, we're not on a pirate satellite. We're on a legitimate one, and we pay big bucks for it. Again, my toll-free lines are open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. You want to talk about the historic presidential executive orders, closing Gitmo, ending torture, opening up the government. Much more than what we saw under Bush, and even more, frankly, than we saw under Clinton. Lots of exciting things going on. We will be disappointed. He's going to break our hearts. I know it. But I'm relishing the joy of this moment as real change is taking place on issues that I consider very, very important. So let me know your thoughts about that at 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And a couple of notes for our San Francisco Bay Area listeners. This Friday night, late night and into Saturday morning, you are invited to join True School for the Big Payback. This is an event to pay back San Francisco's nightlife community for years of dedicated support. And admission is only $5 with two rooms of nonstop party rock and mix, hip-hop, dance hall, old school, R&B, funk, breaks, electro. And how about some reggae? The all-star lineup features Chewy Gomez. He's the guy who got his hair cut under Mancow's direction on the Bay Bridge in a spoof of Bill Clinton's LAX haircut a few years back, and he's still doing well. Lots of other people, too, including my pal DJ Nicotee and Vic the Villain, holding down the side lounge. This is sponsored by the SF Weekly, The Guardian, Stash Magazine, and Scion Automobiles, and it occurs at Mighty, 119 Utah Street at 15th in San Francisco. That's this Friday night, and it starts at 10, and it goes all night long. Only $5 to get in. And True School, SKOOL.com, TrueSchool.com to get the details. Also, this Friday, my friends at Muffin Mania in San Rafael are celebrating their 26th anniversary. And if you've never been there, it's on B Street at Bayview, and they make their own bread. They bake muffins. It's a great family-owned place. And they're offering free muffins from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday. That's at Muffin Mania, celebrating their 26th anniversary in San Rafael. Let's go to some calls now. We've got Andy in New York calling in. He's a pretty bright guy and well-informed, too. Hi, Andy. How are you doing today?
Fine, Peter. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I feel a little load has lifted, and we're able to really see some remarkable change going on.
You sound kind of giddy after that Republican you had on the other night with the state budget.
Well, that was...
You're losing it there.
Well, you know, I almost dropped an F-bomb on my own show. I had to catch myself before the came out.
That two-thirds or 60% majority that you have to get to pass the budget is what does the state in.
Yeah.
Only Rhode Island is the only other state that has that rule.
Well, it's minority rule.
Yeah.
They can block anything, and they have been doing it, and it's gotten downright criminal here.
Right. Well, I want to talk about something criminal, and I think Obama really let down people by appointing Tim Geithner as the Treasury Secretary and Mary Shapiro as the head of the SEC. I've heard people say that Mary Shapiro is just Chris Cox in a dress, and that's all it is. These guys are just lackeys for Wall Street. They've been there all along. They let these people get away with murder, and that's just going to continue. Hey, Tim Geithner was in charge of Citigroup. He was watching that the whole way. He let those guys do whatever they wanted. He was in on the Lehman deal when that went under. He was in on Bear Stearns.
Yeah.
And
no, his fingerprints are on every weekend bailout and workout that occurred under the Bush watch, and he, you know, teamed up with Bernanke and Paulson. And I agree with you. I have grave reservations that this is continuity of the worst kind. And I do understand, I think, the concept here for Obama was to try to reassure the markets by showing this continuity, steady hands on the wheel. But, you know, Geithner hasn't explained the first $350 billion and the $8.4 trillion that the Fed has fed to banks and other institutions that they won't disclose. And so I'm not optimistic about this guy. I don't like to see the gotcha game over his tax issue. I don't think that is a significant marker of whether he'd be a good Treasury Secretary or not. And I'd rather see those Republican senators who are holding up his nomination talk about the issues you and I are discussing here, that he's part of the problem.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That tax issue is just misdirection. That's just garbage.
Yeah.
It's just garbage to get off the real issues of his past, that he's a protege of Robert Rubin. Robert Rubin put him there, and he's being appointed because Wall Street is just loving this.
Yeah.
They're just loving it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Mary Shapiro. Her big deal is she let Morgan Stanley off the hook when they lost all the emails during 9-1-1. They said, oh, we can't find the emails, so we can't go after Mary Meeker. She was the big analyst for the tech bust, where Spitzer went after everybody else as far as fines went, but they couldn't do anything to Morgan Stanley. Couldn't touch him because he couldn't get the emails because supposedly they were all destroyed. Then they found him a couple years later with that suit they had in Florida with the individual with Coleman Products, but they found all the emails in a warehouse in Brooklyn, and then Mary Shapiro got her hands, and she just let them off light, you know, without almost any penalties whatsoever.
Well, you know, white
came up with all the emails.
White collar criminals protect their own class.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that I'm seeing. Number one, I believe that at some point the Wall Street leaders crossed over into criminal behavior because they knew
more than criminal behavior.
Okay, but allow my terms, because they knew that the books were cooked. They knew that these mortgages, the bad mortgages, were going to blow up in their faces, and yet they paid out almost $40 billion in bonuses at the end of 07. And I think that's money that is ill-gotten and should be recovered. And the other thing, and people may have heard me talk about this repeatedly, but I'm waiting for private money to come back into the market. And they're waiting for you and me to absorb all the losses that they created and are responsible for. And then they'll come back in the market and ride it back up.
Right. Buffett was the only one that put any money in. I think he probably feels he made a big mistake.
Yeah, he probably does. Thanks, Andy.
Later.
Always
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. Trash.com. 888-5 Peter B. More of your calls coming up straight away. But we like to check in with the man who's got the news you can't find in the corporate media or anywhere else. It's the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch, exclusively on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's ptsd1.blogspot.com. And the proprietor is journalist R.J. Shulman. R.J., how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for joining me on the Tom Hartman program on Air America earlier here on Thursday. We were able to share your lead story, and we'll just direct people to the web to read it, which is the 10 reasons that Fox News says Obama isn't really the president. And there's some real sweet special items that Bill O'Reilly and the gang have put together there. You got the exclusive, and I guess you can't tell us who your inside source is at Fox.
No, we can't. We can't divulge who it is, and we certainly haven't told Dick Cheney because he would divulge it.
Yeah, he probably would. Now, another big story here, you say that based on the Obama inauguration, that conservative talk show hosts are ready to secede from the union.
That's right. We've seen that already with Rush Limbaugh saying that he can't stand it to such a degree that he wants Obama to fail, and he said that publicly.
We're getting some clicks here. It's just the NSA. Keep going, RJ.
Yeah. And so the other part of the story is that the rest of the conservative talk show hosts are going to break away from the union.
Really? Are they going to form their own perfect union?
That's right. They're going to form the CSA, the Conservative States of America.
Well, I can't wait for that. And you got some juicy quotes here. Here's Rush Limbaugh, and this is a play on that Barack the Magic Negro song that he's been featuring, and he doesn't understand why some people think it's an ugly, racist kind of thing. "I don't care how much magic this Negro has," said Limbaugh. "It's just not the proper order of things for him to be president." And then you got a quote here from Bill O'Reilly. "Barack Hussein 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 Obama is the worst president ever. And did I mention that his middle name is Hussein?" And then to Sean Hannity, "He's not my president. Sarah Palin is my president, and she would be in the White House right now if the liberal media conspiracy had not succeeded in making her look uninformed and totally unprepared to be elected. The nerve of that communist Katie Couric for asking what the magazines are that she reads just to make her look bad. You didn't see Couric ask Obama what magazines he reads." Well, there's a point there.
That's true. I mean, that's exactly right. She never did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, also, you have the inside skinny on why Dick Cheney wound up in a wheelchair on Inauguration Day?
That's right. I know some people were saying that they didn't believe his story about moving boxes, but he actually was moving boxes, but he tripped on a waterboard.
Oh.
And turned back.
Wow. And why wouldn't they just tell us that?
Well, because they don't want to have to talk about how much material that Cheney had from Abu Ghraib and you know, from his own private chamber and from the stuff that he took from Guantanamo. And that's why it took them so long to get packed, because they had to get rid of all that stuff before the new resident came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had one other theory, and we couldn't actually run it down to prove it, but that he actually was lifting boxes to carry over to the shredder, and that's when he hurt himself.
Actually, he hired someone to do that, and everything has been shredded a long time ago.
Oh, I see.
The other theory that we were looking at was that he hurt his back when he got so angry that Bush did not pardon Scooter Libby.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just jumping up and down and hurt his back.
I see. That's an image I'd love to see, Dick Cheney jumping up and down angry. Kind of hard to imagine that one. And finally, you've got one more story from W with one of his unscrubbed quotes.
That's right.
And this is where he says, "I protected Americans from being attacked by everyone but me." And your quote from Bush, I have protecticated the American people, and I made sure that since 9-11 the Twin Towers were not attacked again. And since 9-11 I made sure that we were not attacked by those that want to destroy our Constitution. Wait, Alberto Gonzalez led that attack. Well, at least we didn't get attacked by flying monkeys. Wait, Dick Cheney led that attack. Well, at least we kept our spies safe from being discovered by the enemy. Wait, Dick Cheney led that attack too. Well, at least we didn't get attacked by a wild pack of dinosaurs trying to suck out our lifeblood. Wow. Where'd you get that quote? Was that like on the flight back to Midland?
Yeah, we actually had somebody on that plane, one of our reporters on that plane, to take down this account and this quote.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Well, RJ, thank you for your exclusive reporting, and I want people to go to your website and read all about it. That's the Post Time Sun Dispatch, ptsd1.blogspot.com. Thanks, RJ.
Talk to you later.
All right, that's RJ Shulman, and he's got great information that you can find nowhere else on his website. We're going to take a quick break and return to more of your phone calls, and Tom from Eureka didn't hold on, but he wanted to share the information about Leonard Peltier, and I did hear about this. Leonard, of course, is serving a life sentence for the Pine Ridge, South Dakota, incident way back in the 1970s when two FBI agents were killed. He has proclaimed his innocence, and I believe him. And Leonard Peltier was transferred to a different prison where he was beaten up by other inmates, and it's thought that this was an effort to make him look bad for an upcoming parole hearing. That's the latest on Leonard Peltier. Tom, thanks for bringing it to our attention. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. DJ Nicotee taking your calls. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report on Thursday, January 22nd. Lots of problems to tell you about on the highways. In Hollister, Gilroy, Live Oak at Santa Teresa Boulevard, we've got a collision. Charger hit a tree. Ambulance is responding. In Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 1, just north of Park Avenue, traffic collision there. Three vehicles in the center divide area. Also in Santa Cruz County, Highway 17, just south of East Santa Clara County line.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wine. It's the real deal. With the high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey, reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Clearing the sea.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. We're in the home stretch here.
I feel a hunger, it's a hunger. Tries to keep a man awake at night. Are you the answer? I sure wonder. But I feel with my appetite, with all the power to release it. It isn't said to walk the city streets alone. Anticipation's run to me. Let's find the key and turn this engine on.
Continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Show. Ron in San Francisco, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
I was just thinking about your earlier guest, and redistributing the wealth is just a function of the system in which we have experienced, the wealth that we already have been creating in the United States. If it's true that a person who owns a home is worth 10 times more than a person that rents, and a person that rents is paying on the rental payment the cost of a mortgage, they're demonstrating the ability to pay a mortgage and have an ownership interest in the property, and ought to be, if they want to own a home, ought to be given a home to make payments on.
Mm-hmm.
And that could happen by taking over the Federal Reserve and nationalizing it. Another thing is universal.
Well, hold on. I like your idea. I have a different tack on it, and that is that we have thousands, hundreds of thousands of vacant residences around the country, single-family homes, condos, duplexes, and I think we should set up a new Homestead Act that families, individuals who are willing to move into a property, upgrade it, retrofit it, and make it more eco-friendly and less carbon-intensive and, fully insulated to reduce the amount of energy required. Those are the kinds of things I think we could do to stabilize the housing market, to, fill in these ghost towns that are popping up in suburbs all around the country. And I think that that's a way to bring a whole new generation of people into home ownership who might not be able to qualify for a mortgage today.
Yeah, and also if it's true that 17 times more tax money comes from a college graduate, then it just is logical that there ought to be ways to get a college education where you don't have to be obligated to pay thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in loan fees after you graduate from college. And I think it's just a way for corporations to gain more control, because if you get a good job at a corporation, by the way, these corporations fund a lot of these educational institutions and help set the curricula, then you get into the corporation and they give you health care and they give you a good wage, and boy, you better toe the line, because if you make waves, you're going to not be able to pay your mortgage, you're not going to have your health care. If we had universal health care, though, that would limit the power of corporations, and that brings me to corporate personhood.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that that needs to be looked into and done away with. Corporations don't have the right of people.
Yeah.
And there's many other issues, but if we have the freedom to actually implement some of these changes, we can accomplish a type of society where our vote makes a difference, and that's the big thing. Is if we don't have a system where every vote cast is a vote that counts, then we're not going to be able to implement any change.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make a lot of good points. The corporate personhood issue is one that is nettlesome and needs to be dealt with, and this is where progressives really need to push for that kind of awareness, because too many of the Democratic leaders are pro-corporate DLC types and the blue dog types and those who accept a lot of money from corporations, and they have a hard time hearing the very clear point that you just made about the abuses of, corporations by posing as persons and trying to assume the kind of rights that we have as individual citizens. Ron, thanks a lot. You make great points. Appreciate your call. Now to one more quick thing. Julie in Sacramento was asking about Grover Norquist. I railed against him yesterday and also on the Tom Hartman program earlier today. And she said she called the American for Taxpayers' Rights. Nobody knew about the pledge that California legislators have taken. And she wants to know where does she get a hold of Norquist? ATR.org, Americans for Taxpayer Rights. That's where the information is. Thanks for checking in from Sacramento, Julie. I appreciate that. Jim in San Francisco, you're up.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Today, apparently, there was a hearing on Admiral Dennis Blair.
Yeah.
As Director of National Intelligence. I don't know if you talked about it earlier or not. But
we haven't talked about it today, but we have discussed him in the past and his role in East Timor.
Yes, exactly. And did that
come up in the hearings, do you know?
He kind of, as my understanding is, that he kind of misled people into thinking that everything was on the up and up and the Indonesian military was operating constitutionally. And I'm reviewing now the Amy Goodman program, on Democracy Now. Of course, you know, Amy was in East Timor and almost got killed, actually.
That's right.
They have really good sources, and I just think it would be really important to have a guest on who could talk about that in much more detail than I can go into.
Well, Jim, we take requests on this show, and I will work on that. We'll try to find somebody who has good knowledge about Dennis Blair and can expose what we need to know. I'm out of time, but I thank you for your call. You can catch a podcast of any portion of the Peter B. Collins Show as long as they don't substitute Michael Savage. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama signed the order today. The prison for suspected terrorists at Guantanamo Bay will be shut down within a year. The prisoners moved elsewhere.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. It is the latest clean break with Bush administration policies.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
President Obama says he hopes the action will show the world that the U.S. plans to fight terrorists in a way that reflects the country's values and ideals.
We intend to win this fight. We're going to win it on our terms.
Mr. Obama has also ordered a review of pending war crimes trials and a ban on waterboarding and other harsh interrogation methods. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Some background from CBS News correspondent David Martin.
Even with America's blood still boiling over the 9/11 attacks, the first photos of hooded and shackled prisoners being shipped to Guantanamo Bay came as a shock. All told, nearly 800 alleged terrorists, the so-called worst of the worst, were sent to Guantanamo. They were sent there first to be interrogated, then tried for war crimes, and they could be held indefinitely, even if found innocent. In 7 years, the military commission set up to try the worst of the worst have produced just 3 convictions.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton gave the State Department staff a pep talk today.
I believe with all of my heart that this is a new era for America.
I'm Dan Revive. President Obama went to the State Department in the afternoon. On stage with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, they said together they chose 2 special envoys to dangerous trouble spots. George Mitchell to mediate peace between Israel and the Arabs.
I believe deeply that with committed, persevering, and patient diplomacy,
it can happen in the Middle East.
And Richard Holbrook, envoy to Afghanistan and Pakistan to fight extremism. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
The Senate has confirmed another batch of Obama cabinet nominees. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, Housing Secretary Sean Donovan, Lisa Perez Jackson to head the EPA, Mary Shapiro to chair the SEC, and Susan Rice as UN ambassador. The Senate Finance Committee decided to overlook Tim Geithner's past tax problems and endorsed him to be Treasury Secretary. Confirmation by the full Senate is expected Monday. Late today, President Obama made a surprise visit to the cramped space where the White House Press Corps works.